I was thinking about that opening prayer, asking God to save us from adversity so we can find our way to God. Okay, that's what it said. Let me offer a friendly amendment. The philosopher John McMurray, a Scottish philosopher who died in the 1970s, said this, false religion says, don't worry, God will protect you. True religion says, no matter what happens, God is with you. Which world has to end? Here are several examples. Think about this, when Aaron Rodgers went down and broke his whatever. For how many of you did your world end? A bunch of the guys in my community are still in grieving and in the near depression for that and don't have much hope for the rest. They're grieving without hope, just to say. I went to Omaha on Thursday and came back Friday night. One of my classmates from high school, this is our 50th anniversary year, his wife died unexpectedly on Sunday, a week ago, about this time. That's an end of a world. And those of us who attended the funeral, I believe, felt the threat of that. And we all hear about people much younger than us who die. And there's something as if it were cut out of us. Those are examples of worlds ending. More and more I've come to believe the problem is not this great earth that we walk around on and you know, when we get fed up with stuff, say, you know, God, just come and mess, you know, take all the mess away. Think about Kim Jong-un. That threat terrifies me because of the threat to my little world and the way I want, I expect, and really demand that it goes from this point forward. I don't know how you're reacting to that, but this is certainly different from the 1960s during the Cuban Missile Crisis. I don't remember that much, but there's a threat to a world which is the world in which I dwell, in which you are players in it to some degree, but it's about me. That's the world that has to end. I hope it doesn't, you know, come down to anything more global, or whether it's, you know, we all know about the thing under Yellowstone, you know, who knows? But the deal is, we don't know the time and the hour, and what do we do with that space in between right now and not knowing? The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. And what a lot of people, I don't generically, I'm saying this, preachers, maybe Catholics, I don't know, talk about is the certainty of this is what's going to happen when Christ comes, and this is what's going to happen, and we can all be at rest because we have certainty. That ain't faith. What do we do? And one of the key words I want to look at here in a second is delay. Okay, here we are right now. You're sitting there and saying, here I am, okay? What do we do with that space between here and really the next moment? What happens in that delay? Well, for me, it's all about distractions. Work, I got to do this, I should do that, blah, 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 blah. You know, watch a little Netflix. You know, folks are going to watch the Packer game today. People are going to, you know, thrive on football, relive Wisconsin's victory, and all that stuff like that. What else is in that space between right here, right now, and the next moment when we don't know? The foolish were like the fool who built his house on sand, and when adversity came, when the wind and rain and the storm hit, it crumbled. And the wise in Matthew's gospel are like those who built their house on solid foundation of stone. All that stuff hit and it didn't matter, as it were. Okay. In the time of delay, in the time between right now and what I'm going to be certain about doing next, as an expectation or a demand, here's a couple things. The Greek word chronidzo, if the wicked slave says to himself, my master is delayed, and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards, that master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour that he does not know. Harvey Weinstein is not the only guy who's abused women. And when they spoke up, his world ended. The world of his control, the world of his domination. In the interim between now and the next whatever, the coming, he filled it with dominating others, or Kevin Spacey or anybody, you know. When in Exodus, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, God called him up there, and he was up there 40 days. And people are at the bottom saying, we don't know what happened. Did God kill him? Did he die of thirst? What's he doing up there? And so they said to Aaron, come, make gods for us who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And so in their empty space between now and the future, they built their own gods. Anybody else here do that besides me? And that's the world that has to end. Yeah. A lot of what I've read in some Buddhist writings talk about the first stage of everything is realizing how we're asleep, like the maidens, the virgins who were asleep. And in Matthew's gospel, it says, when he was at Gethsemane, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? We know the answer to that. He couldn't. Again, he came a few verses later and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. he left them and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same words. He came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? The hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." When the crisis hit, they were like the five foolish virgins. Because their world was full of their own idolatry. And so they fled. Jesus, like Moses on the mountain, didn't delay. Jesus didn't delay, but he was taken from them. They hit the road. And just saying, the world in which you and I live every moment of the day is the world in which every moment of the day is the coming of Christ to call us and say, "Hey, you there." Wake up. Wake up. Because the call is not to destruction. What it is to surrender of our of our stuff and the discovery of what new life is about. And that little journey from, "Oh, I'm asleep, I'm called to wake up by name, and here I am, Lord. I let go of whatever I can today at this moment," like my buddy Pat is letting go of his wife. Like Packer fans are letting go of hope. Like Harvey Weinstein's letting go of his grand illusion. And that is for the sake of life. What we do in the Eucharistic prayer again is give thanks and praise to God, who in Christ through the Spirit opens for us, even in our sleep, even in our idolatry, opens a way for us to new life based not on that, but on the world in which He is Lord, not me, not you. That's the journey of life. May God bless and lead us and guide us on that journey, which we're going to continue these weeks and into Advent. So, wake up. I hope I can.